Welcome to Beyond the Frame. I am here with Scott Shaw and Matt Bagel from Bash Capital. And today we're going to be talking about 401ks and some of the things that should be at the forefront of the process. If a business is going to invest in those benefits and providing that to their staff, where are they not maximizing the value and the opportunity that they have? Matt, Scott, thoughts on this? What do business owners need to know?
Scott. Do we start with the education side? Or do you want to do the investment?
I first want to thank them for having us here. All right, fine. That's a great way to start.
Go ahead. I mean, look, John, thanks for having us in your studio. We're very excited to be here today.
Oh, I like to lean in there. I'm so excited to have you guys here.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
I think you're underestimating the value of a 401k plan towards its employees or participants, as we call them. I think it's actually one of the things that any worker out there should be initially looking at in addition to their compensation, salary, bonus, all that good stuff. The 401k platform is critical to your future retirement needs. And are you working for today or are you working for tomorrow?
So that's a really great point around what the employees need to be thinking about and looking at when they're coming into things. Thinking from the employer side, are you generally, well, first of all, let's get a baseline. How does it work? How do people engage with you or how do people engage with a financial advisor to deploy a 401k plan at a firm?
Usually starts at the business owner. And I think 401k space is usually the most overlooked benefit when it comes to the company because you're focused on health insurance or other out-of-pocket costs. But the 401k plan could be designed not only to improve the financial well-being of the participants, or it could be the business owner looking to create his or her own retirement plan and also add benefits or be competitive to other businesses. So it could be a combination, could be for tax benefits, but bringing that 401k plan in to a company and it, look, we're not having defined benefit plans or pension plans like there were 30, 40 years ago. The 401k plan is pretty much the main retirement space for companies right now and going forward.
Why do you think it's overlooked?
Because many reasons. You can ask a business owner right now, what are your costs? They'll tell you what the benefit costs are for health insurance or other insurance costs or business costs. If you say, what are the fees or the internal fee costs of the retirement plan? It's not as transparent. Mm. I would say almost 9 out of 10 do not know what a 401k plan is really costing them.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
No, that makes a lot of sense. And is that specific to the fees? Are there other things that they should be considering when they do that analysis?
Yeah, well, you're looking, when Scott was bringing up, and he can touch on more, the 401k plan, it comes down to what are the costs of the plan? Mm-hmm. It's also involved out-of-pocket costs to potentially a third-party administrator. And then what's the performance of the platform where an analyst like Scott comes in and we're trying to obviously improve the overall return. And then on top of that, and part that I really have passion about is the service or the education for the business owner and the participants.
So I think that probably looking at the fee structure and those types of things are and something you should do ongoing, but it's probably that initial engagement, right? You're comparing plans just like you would with anything else, I'd assume, right? Like insurance, you look at the different fee structure. What are the benefits? What do you get? Once you're in now, right, you've established this 401k plan, you're talking about the service side. What are things that maybe business owners aren't aware that are important in that process, right? Like everybody's talking now about the customer experience. Everybody's talking about in whatever business you're in, whether it's the customer experience or the service or whatever. What does that look like when you're deploying a 401k plan to your team and why does it matter?
Yeah, well, Scott.
I think that part with service and delivering the proper advice, it's very difficult. Business owners, they're looking at the plan. When an advisor comes in and we're dealing with the participants, your last question about what's missing and why would somebody not participate, I actually think about it from the employee level. It's a lack of education. They're not getting the advice that they need from either their personal financial advisor or from the servicing advisor on the plan, who's simply not available to explain to them the importance of the plan. And we get questions that will show the lack of education. Like, for example, when a client says to us, well, my 401k plan is terrible. It doesn't perform well. That's clearly a lack of understanding of the lineup of available options in the plan. Or they say, it's a terrible plan. My company doesn't match. And they're not really understanding the tax benefits of saving into the 401k plan. So there's a disconnect there. And that usually starts with the education process. But certainly there's other factors in there from the ownership side that we deal with the sponsors of the plan where they have to be more in tune to the fees, the investment lineup, and the other fiduciary cares that they have to be taking.
And so when it's interesting you say that, because if I'm looking at, when you say that, it makes me think as a business owner myself, and and when you think about the business owners that are working with you, you're deploying this benefit. And if you have employees that are going, my benefit stinks, right? It's not very good. It's not performing well, right? That disconnect in something that should be a value add for working for you becomes a deterrent, right? It becomes something that should be a retention tool is actually at best not doing what it's supposed to do in keeping people, and maybe at worst sending them somewhere else. So what are your recommendations? What are things that somebody can do right away? Because my question was going to be, well, why should a business owner care, right? If they deployed the plan, they did what they were supposed to do. It's the employee's responsibility then to figure out how they use it. But the reality of that is that if you want to be a good employer, you want to help your team grow, right? Both professionally and personally, so that everybody in the whole organization grows. So what do you do that's different? What do you focus on the service side that helps, and how do you educate these people?
Well, the best part, what Scott said, disconnect. There is a gap in financial education, and I can bring up the stats here, but fewer than 1 in 5 Americans in a recent study is confident about the management of their retirement account. If you look around, just look around the country, what is probably the most important investment account that an average American has?
Right.
It's probably their 401k account. Less than 20% understand. So what are we doing? We're having active one-on-one. When we start out in the business, when I walk in and we were managing a 401k plan, we would have what I call like a global meeting. We talk about a topic, maybe 50 people in the room, and some people would get value out of this, but everyone has their own unique situation. So with technology and strategies such as Zoom, where we can be one-on-one, we are going in having one-on-one campaigns with all of our retirement plans, because one participant could be young, looking at dollar cost average, doesn't understand the difference between a Roth and traditional, where someone could be a participant looking for retirement and needs more guidance on how they can be more protective or conservative. So going in and adding that education, getting that less than 20%, we're trying to bring that value, that financial well-being to the participants. This is their most, potentially their most important investment account they have. Right. And that lack of education that Scott brings up is huge. And I want to keep adding to that point of how many times I talk to a client, Scott, that let's say they're in retirement. If I ask, what's one thing they wish they did differently over their working career? Well, I wish I saved more. Well, think of those younger participants. I had one this morning where 20 participants were putting in less than 6%. We just had a review with our client. That lack of education of, could that participant on a one-on-one review understand, well, if you put $50 more in per paycheck, how much more compounding that account will be 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now? Those little tweaks could be a huge value.
Do you get to see the, you know, I was like, I imagine year to year. I saw that. Yeah, he stone colded you.
Oh, right, yeah. He was, sorry, he was fine with it.
He left you on an island right there.
Waiting to get to the more sexy topics of 401k.
I didn't know that there were out.
We're trying to make this as exciting as possible.
This is going
to
be a big gear shift moment for me. I did not know there was sexy topics in 401k. Yeah, let's dive in.
There certainly are.
I have been, you know, well, let's end the
foreplay. Did he ask his own question?
Yeah, let's stop the foreplay. You tee it up.
All right. Well, look, it depends. Are we talking about the sexiness of tax advantages where employees now could be participating on the Roth side of 401k? Or are we talking about the investments where we're seeing advancement across Secure Act 2.0? We're seeing advancements where we could be able to attract new types of investments in 401k, like eventually crypto. There's a growing demand for investors to be able to find an outlet to invest in crypto, specifically Bitcoin, right? Well, a year ago, it came into the ETF world where now as investment managers, we could be adding it into our clients' portfolios on the retail side, the individual planning side. But we're starting to see advancement too on the 401k side, where eventually investors will be able to dollar cost average into more asset classes than just equities across the globe. And that's really, really important.
Well, let's think what Scott's saying, and I want to ask him now, because I love cutting him off, is How do you, what do we want at the end of the day in the 401k? You want the highest possible balance later on in life, right?
Sure.
Which is the education of dollar cost averaging that Scott said and getting that confidence. Can you put more? But Scott, turning to you, you talk about crypto. It's the menu they're choosing. How much value, or you see as an analyst or an advisor, where it's the investment choices, where they're sitting mainly over 60%, I think, I could be wrong, are in target date funds.
Mm-hmm.
What is the value of an advisor, or in your case, where you can understand their risk profile? What will they do?
There's no rules that say that target date funds won't inevitably be holding crypto as well. But yeah, when a participant has the options to build their own allocation within the 401k, they could choose to go a target date route, which is kind of like cruise control. Save every biweekly out of your paycheck. You know you're diversified. Your target is your retirement date. So if I want to retire in the year 2035, 10 years from now, that portfolio is going to be designed to mature where it is most value or income oriented with a lot of fixed income and bonds in 2035. But in 2025, that same fund may hold some very aggressive asset classes, some technology holdings, may own crypto, international, emerging markets, and that's to get those enhanced returns. So when a participant says, well, I don't have a good 401k, it doesn't perform well. We know
all the time.
That's the disconnect. We get that all the time. And we then know, well, this person doesn't really understand that they chose the investments in there. And maybe they didn't speak to somebody to get proper advice.
So it sounds like it's a process of getting the right advice, setting the expectation based on that strategy, right? Because if I'm in a target date fund, as you said, it's going to be, and I'm going to dumb this down, right? I'm going to be more aggressively invested, which has higher risk in the short term and in the earlier portion of that 10 years. And then as it's maturing, as you said, or as it's coming to the end where I'm going to need this money to cash out because I'm about to retire, I want less risk from the volatility of the market. So I'm going to have, my investments are going to be, how would you say that?
It's just such a flawed way of looking at it,
yeah.
Because people will choose their retirement date as if, and I'll say this carefully, as if it's their date of death. They still may have 30 years plus of retirement.
Right.
Well, you're planning out for the rest of your life. When you're looking at your asset allocation, this is another reason why advice is needed, so that these participants aren't saying, well, if I retire in the year 2035, all of my money needs to be in bonds. That's what we often hear, and it's just not the case. You need to make sure that you have dollars that are going to perform well for your 70s or 80s or 90s, some of the highest cost of living that you're going
to
see.
Right, right. And so, yeah.
Well, I was going to add to that word overlooked. I think that's a big part of 401ks. Overlooked by the business owner, because it's not an out-of-pocket cost. Even business owners be like, oh, I'm up 15% per year. Did really well. Maybe you could have been up 16. Maybe the fees are 1% more internally. You didn't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the participant, where we're hearing, what's a Roth? I don't know why I'm all in bonds. That's their most important account. It's overlooked because they're usually intimidated by investing. They don't feel confident and they just don't want to pay attention or learn. So we're seeing the whole entire situation overlooked by the business owner and the participants.
Well, I feel like it might be too sexy at times for people, just to come back to that as we got to get some of that analysis. And I also think that, and even as we were just talking about that right now, just I think a lot of times finding a way to dumb it down so that people understand, you know, we're talking about, hey, I don't even want to look at my account or understand it. And you're going, did you know that we could have crypto? And it's like, I don't even know how that works, how it functions. It's intimidating. I think it's so, to kind of summarize that and where we're at this point, it sounds like the big thing that you see from you guys and your focus in 401k deployment for the clients that you work with, for the business owners and their staff and their employees, is to make sure that there is really proper expectation setting and education for each of those employees, which really, I think, for them maximizes their potential benefit within investing, right? Because they're more educated and they're able to make decisions based on their actual life, which is different for every single employee, which is why, as you said earlier, a 60-person seminar once a year doesn't really cut it necessarily. And then for the employer, it ensures that this benefit that they're investing in is a big part of their comp plan, a big part of their retention strategy, is actually executing on that vision. If that's a good summary, I do want to ask you guys, I'm sure you've worked, you know, for many years with some of these businesses where you've stepped in and kind of, you know, seen the person who was doe-eyed and worried and didn't know what to ask. And now you're 2, 3, 4, 5 years in and you're able to have that annual meeting with them, that conversation with them. They're savvier. They are more confident, comfortable, and aware of really their benefit. Do you have any stories like that and what you see in individuals and the benefit that they get, right? That like that micro story, that human story, because that's what it boils down to here, right?
I would say I just had this last week, and Scotty may even know, we were sitting there on a review. Client was part of a 401k plan. She rolled over into an IRA, went to a new company, and I love to call it like a back to the future moment where I pulled out her net worth from 5 years earlier till now. And just a snapshot in time to show all that dollar cost averaging and staying the course, staying disciplined, the difference in the value of her accounts was very, very large. And just seeing that I'm a part of that is such a great feeling. But I really, we're coaching. We're financial planners. I don't even like to say, well, what do you do? We're advisors. No, we're, in my mind, we're training and we're coaching. And sharing that with clients is what it's all about. And seeing some of the advice that we've been echoing and them saying, hey, thank you. Like we stayed the course and I really, hey, may have other financial decisions I've been making that help as well, but the investment side really grow. I mean, that's what it's all about. So that was in a personal experience just recently. I don't know about you, Scott.
I would shift and talk about where we're at right now in the markets. And when I look at 401ks and qualified plans, even IRAs for that matter. And then I look at the market every day, creating a new all-time high. No matter what you're talking about, we have conversations with clients that are looking at their investments and seeing the compounded returns over these last 3 years. And one of the biggest things they could do is rebalance their account. And with proper advice, clients right now could be rebalancing their retirement plans, paying zero fees, zero taxes, and reduce their exposure. And everyone has this constant concern over capital gains tax and income tax. I can't sell my investments because I'm going to pay taxes on it. Well, you can always go to your retirement plan. And when you're looking at your total picture of your total net worth, you could still dial down that risk at these all-time high levels by trimming in an account that you don't pay taxes in. It's one of the big advantages of those plans is you are not disadvantaged by rebalancing numerous times. And in our models, we rebalance 2 to 3 times a year. And in qualified plans, that's a big service to the participant, knowing that at no point do they have a single investment in their retirement plan that is becoming over-concentrated, that is going to expose their retirement dollars to risks that they weren't intending to take. And I think right now in this market, specifically like this week, when you're looking at the markets, you have to look at your overall asset allocation and the risk that you're taking. Take advantage of what's happening in the markets right now. Dollar cost averaging over time means that you're reducing the price that you're paying because you're buying at different intervals. There's no rule that says that when the markets are at an all-time high, you can't give your portfolio a haircut and take some profits and go into some areas that underperformed. Specifically, international over the last decade underperformed domestic equity. Energy underperformed domestic equity. Financials, there's many areas of the market right now that aren't at all-time highs like that. So I think investors need to take a look at their 401k plan from the advice that they're getting, the tax benefits that they're receiving, but then have a conversation with the advisor over your asset allocation.
So let's add to what Scott just said, because as an analyst, this all comes easy to him.
Right.
We said intimidate.
Yeah, give me the fifth grade.
You're a business owner. You work all day. And then you go home, you may have family. You have so many hours in a day. Then you're going to go into your website and look at probably your most important investment account. You're going to try to figure out what rebalancing is that Scott just described. Understanding international versus large cap value or small cap. Then let's get more complicated. What are the rules? Can I take a loan? Am I growing tax deferred here? Am I doing the traditional option or am I doing a Roth? How's that going to affect me tax-wise? Am I hitting the match? If I'm the business owner, do I want to maybe add a profit sharing? Do I have to look at our census? How much do I have to give to the different participants in that scenario? Let's face it, this is complicated. And being complicated, this is the world we live in. I always say there's people way smarter than me. This is just the world I'm in. So I can be with somebody, I feel I'll sit down with a doctor or a PhD and once they get to this part, their brain just freezes. Like, Matt, please explain this to me.
Right.
So little things like sky tweaking, you can look at studies showing rebalancing can help better returns. That's what it all comes down to.
Right.
And studies just show, and we can go in, like having that coaching in an area, and that's why we're very big on this. We call it the one-on-one campaigns when we work with our 401k plans. Giving, why shouldn't that participant have at least a 30-minute one-on-one for customized advice for their situation?
And so I think that's super helpful, and thank you for qualifying. I actually think, let's get a definition before we move on, just to make sure people understand. What is rebalancing? Like in are you smarter than a fifth grader terms?
Okay, so you have a target allocation to begin with, which simply states that each one of your investments has a specific percentage to a part of the market. For example, maybe you're going to have 10% to large cap growth. Maybe you're going to have 15% to international. Maybe you're going to have 30% to fixed income and bonds. That's your target allocation. But as you invest and as the market goes, your portfolio will gravitate and will grow in the areas that are doing the best. Well, over the last 3 years, it's no surprise that large cap growth, technology, consumer discretionary, domestic equity have done the best. So if you look at your portfolio and you haven't rebalanced for 3 years, I'm betting that your allocation is going to have more than that 10% weighting to large cap growth. It may even be double, which means you're taking 2 times the amount of risk in that asset class. So when you look at your portfolio, if you now have 20% large cap growth, well, that means that that 10% is coming from somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. You can't have more than 100% in the portfolio.
Right.
So rebalancing is that act of going back to the target. Going back to the target too frequently is overtrading. Too infrequently, well, then you run the risk where you're in a market and you're overexposed to a specific part. We never want that. We also don't want to look at our asset allocation and become too conservative. We don't want to rebalance every month. You want to rebalance either on a calendar basis, maybe once or twice per year, or if there's a major move in the market necessitating a rebalancing, that's when that would become important.
Do you think the average participant knows that breakdown that Scott just went
out? Absolutely not. You lost me to allocation, which was the second word you used. So give me the Matt version.
I mean, I understand what Scott said.
No, of course.
I think if you had 10% in large cap growth, now you have 15% because that one area has been outperforming. And what if we have a pullback or we have a correction?
And then you're going to
get that area. You were an 80-20. Now you're an 85-15. You became much more growth oriented in your portfolio than your profile aligned you. That doesn't match your situation. So
let's go back to that for a second, because that's something that we've done, right? It's that profile that you do up front is figuring out what your risk profile is. And you said that earlier, if you're a younger investor, right, you've got a longer lead time, you might be more aggressive. If you're an older investor, you're nearing retirement, you need those funds. You're more risk averse, right? You're going to stay away from those being over leveraged in one area. And so that's what we're talking about. You have that profile first. And that all goes back to the service side. And that all goes back to the getting to know each of these investors, right? And I think that probably, I would even say this, you know, even thinking about this retrospectively, that probably most employees, right? You work wherever you work, right? And you don't think of yourself as an investor, right? And maybe that's even like the first part of this, is just recognizing that, hey, you're going to retire someday. You need to put money away, and you have now just become an investor. You don't think of yourself that way, but that's what you are. And as a result, you have responsibilities as an investor, right? To yourself, the shareholder, right? And you need to work with the right partners that are going to help you get there. And I think that that's what's really interesting about this conversation, because ultimately what we're demonstrating, talking about, and I think what a lot of people miss, is business owners feel like they're checking a box. Hey, I've got a benefit. Let's move on, right? Employees are checking a box. Hey, I went to the one annual meeting. I checked. And then everyone might feel good about that in that moment, that we've checked the box. But then 6 months, a year, life changes, geopolitical things happen, the markets change. And then all of a sudden, you're having comments. Yeah, I don't get a match. Yeah, I don't have that great of a benefit. Yeah, all the things that you said that are these. And now all of a sudden that checkbox isn't checked anymore. And so I think that what you guys are really describing is making sure that we're not just checking a box, we're actually going above and beyond, which ensures that we're getting the biggest value. Is that a great way to kind of summarize the focus?
I mean, it is. Everyone does talk about the match. I mean, the match is great, but there's no other account that you can set up on the planet that gives you a match. So it's if you don't get a match, it doesn't mean don't enroll and participate in your 401k plan. I mean, you're giving up all the tax benefits.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. It's like, why would I invest? There's a match. Well, we're trying to compound your money the best way. This vehicle is giving you, and we haven't gone into, remember it's complicated, the tax benefits of either upfront tax deduction or tax-free on the back end, and it's growing tax deferred.
Yep.
How many times we've told a client, remember that 1099 you get at the end of the year from your bank, from interest, or from your investment accounts? That takes away from your overall return. Not in a retirement account. It grows even faster because you don't have to pay taxes while in that retirement account.
So last question, okay? Let's hit that issue because I love tackling problems with solutions, right? My employer doesn't match, right? Is there anything that I should, like, and so there's probably a presumption, like, it's a waste of going into this. And also probably some other things, like my employer is not investing in me. They don't care, whatever the things that come out of that are. What do you say to employees that are, you know, so that they still understand the value that they're getting, right? Besides investing in themselves and the value that the fact that the employer has that plan in place.
I could go first. I'm very visual. So I would be showing them inflation over time. I'd be showing them the value of compounding your money and the rates of return, because as we go back to, why are we investing? We're trying to have technically what, as high net worth as possible later on in life. Maybe it's to support family, college, retirement, whatever it may be. That's what the goal is. So if you're not getting a match, that's just extra gravy we talk about, right? But you're investing, and investments, just going over the benefits of the tax benefits you're getting are huge, but also growth of your assets. So it's really just, and then showing data over time. I mean, if you're going against that, you know, I would love to hear what the other alternatives are.
Right.
So that's my way of talking to.
It's a flawed mental outlook when somebody makes that comment. It's from a lack of understanding. When they say, I'm not going to participate, my plan is terrible, my company doesn't match. That's a lack of understanding of the 401k platform in general for all companies. I'm going to answer your question with what would be the hierarchy of savings for a new worker, somebody that is out of school, somebody that's just starting out, because they're thinking to themselves, well, wait, if I don't do that, I could do this Roth IRA or this IRA on my own outside of work. Well, there's no rule that says that you can't do both other than certain limitations. So the way that we describe the hierarchy of savings is the first thing you want to do is, if there's a match, save into your 401k up to the match. At that point, can you save more? Yes. Go to a Roth IRA if you're eligible, if you meet the income requirements, meaning you're not making too much money. And if you're not, you then want to maximize the savings into a Roth IRA. After you've been able to do that, you then take another step back and say, can I save more? Now go back to that 401k and max out that 401k. Now you're fully utilizing all of the tax advantages that are available to you because you qualify. You're under the income limits, so you can use a Roth IRA, you can use a 401k, and you can max them both out. Do that while you can, because at a certain point, those people that are out there that are just starting out, they are going to be making too much money. And they're not going to be able to save into that Roth IRA anymore. And then they're just going to be able to do the 401k. The Roth IRA is an extremely valuable tool for long-term savers. It provides them the tax deferral that Matt described before, and it also has the potential for tax-free distributions in retirement. So that would be the hierarchy that we recommend investors that are starting out, and all of it is based off of their qualifications.
I love that. So it truly is cutting your nose off to spite your face if you're just going to look at that match and then go walk out the door, right? And so it's really just truly leaving money on the table. And it's not impacting you today necessarily, but future you is going to be pretty pissed off when you realize the mistake that you made. So I think that that's a really valuable thing, a valuable takeaway for anybody that's hearing this right now. Matt, Scott, thank you guys so much. It's great to hear the approach and philosophy to 401k deployment that you do with the companies that you work with. So thank you.
John, this is great. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, John. It's great.